Welcome to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims. Here on WWGH1071.com, we stream live on the web, www.WWGH1071.com. You can also download free app called TuneIn and search WWGH. And don't forget, you can download that app on any electronic device. iPhones, cell phones, laptops, or computers. We have one more option for you where you can get be a part of one of the shows, talk shows that we offer you by calling 740-383-9944 if you would like to be a part of the conversation. If you have any questions, again, 740-383-9944. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Inspect Ohio LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 27 years of experience working for you. Location, LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number, 740-262-0939. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, here in Marion, Ohio. Their telephone number, 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. And they have an ongoing announcement, free produce market every second Saturday of every month. Now, it falls on July the 11th, 2020. The time is from 12 noon until 2 p.m. at the same location as Logos Ministries, 582 Lee Street. Don't forget, free produce. Last but not least, Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number, 740-382-8552. I have a thought I would like to open up the show with, and it's called communication. And this, I had to laugh about this thought because I called one of my people who comes frequently to my show, and I said, are you free? Yeah. I said, can you come up for it? Yeah. No, I was seeing you then. He said, boy, we had the best conversations.
Yeah, it was really extended, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it sure was. But sometimes that's how it goes. Okay, but we've been communicating for a few minutes before the show came on. Yeah,
that's true.
Playing catch up. But it says, communication, the one who knows the art of connecting to others is successful. See there? I have the art.
That's good.
When someone is not behaving well, we tend to alter our attitude, response, and behavior toward that person. We wait for the other person to change before changing ourselves. When I know the art of perceiving others' specialties and connecting to them, I will always be successful. I am then not dependent on the other person's behavior for my own growth. I am able to see each person's positive aspects and absorb them in myself too. Then I become richer with every interaction. And the voice and laughter you've been hearing, other than mine, is Jeff Porter.
Magnificent Mr. Porter.
Author of Expressions of the Last Days.
Yes. Okay.
All right, what's going on?
I've been reading this book. It's called I'm Not Afraid of the Antichrist.
Oh.
Why We Don't Believe in Pre-Tribulation Rapture.
Oh, okay.
I saw this. I drove clear to Pickaway because you can't hardly find a Christian bookstore anymore. They've all mostly gone out of business. And
really?
Did you know that the Lifeway Christian bookstore in Columbus went out of business? I went there the other day and the building is empty.
No, I did not know that.
And I said, what the heck, you know? But apparently, They're just not doing well, maybe because of the internet. Probably because of the internet. I don't know. I know they sell a lot of stuff they shouldn't be selling.
Really?
You know, false doctrine and stuff, yeah. Because, you know, they just want to make money. But I think that caught up with them.
But don't you think people want to know other things other than Scripture and the Bible? You know, people are out there and they just want to know, are the Christians really right about what they're saying? I mean, let's see what Socrates says or Pluto or...
That's fine. Go ahead, and I even suggest that you go to college and take up some philosophy courses and see what you can come up with. Now, that's what I did. When I was an atheist, so-called atheist, agnostic, whatever you want to call me, I was just doing nothing but searching, mm-hmm. you know, for truth. And I didn't even really realize it.
Right,
you know.
Right.
But it's amazing how you can get on the merry-go-round and you go all the way around, but you end up right back at the same spot.
Right.
You know, and that's how I found Christ, is because he really is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember walking down the street and I said, okay, God, I want to know the truth. If you are for real, the only way, you know, and if you'll show me that you really are the only way, then I'll believe it, because that would be the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And he did, over a long period of time.
Wow.
So, I remember when I first got saved, and I was watching the PTL Club a lot, you know, I really liked that, N700 Club. And,
what's the PTL? Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Jim Baker.
Yeah, Jim
Big
Baker.
Scandal.
Yeah.
Okay, and that ministry of Jim Baker and Tammy Faye, they believed in pre-tribulation rapture. And I was a new Christian, so that's what I believed,
mm-hmm,
you know,
because mm-hmm.
I really admired them and other Christians. And I remember one day, Mike, the guy I was with, he says, I don't believe in that, the rapture. I said, why not? He said, it's just not clear in Scripture. So I went on a big campaign looking through Scripture. And I believe he's right that the pre-tribulation rapture scriptures that they use to defend pre-trib is, they're vague. None of them say this event will happen before the tribulation starts.
Right.
You know.
Right.
It doesn't give us a time setting. See what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, my biggest argument against pre-tribulation rapture is that if you take a look at the horrible things that are happening to Christians around the world.
Today.
Yeah. Look at China. Look at North Korea, especially
mm-hmm.
North Korea. They do some terrible things to Christians, you know. And the ones that have escaped have told us.
Wow.
How awful it is, the way they treat people, you know. And that's one place I'd be in favor of an uprising, because a little revolution never hurt anybody. But, so what they're saying is a lot of people were saved, but they want to believe in pre-tribulation rapture because they're afraid of the Antichrist. They're afraid of all the terrible things that he's going to do. But I believe that God is going to give us the grace. Not from all of... We're not... It says that the Bible says if you're a Christian, you're going to face the persecution.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation.
Right.
But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Yes.
Now...
And he also says they hate it. You know, they hate you. Think they hate you, but they really hate me.
Yeah.
Because they treat us all kind of ways, too.
I never had one third of the problems I have now before I got saved. When I was unsaved, they don't even notice you. The world doesn't really even notice you.
You blend right in.
Yeah. But then after you get saved, there's something about you they don't like.
I know.
I ran into a lot of that at work when I was driving city bus.
Uh-huh.
And I notice it now. You know, you can go through a department store line, and the clerk just gives you that look like, I don't think I like you too much. And it's no reason for it.
Wow.
You didn't say anything to them.
True.
You didn't do anything to them, but they just don't like you because you're Christian, and they can sense it.
Mm, yeah.
You know.
Supposed to.
And I have a last days calling on me. They don't like that, especially don't like that.
Oh, of course not, because that's against everything that a non-Christian believes in.
Yeah.
We're against that, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the Antichrist, at first, he's not going to appear to be evil. He's going to probably clothe the naked and feed the poor. He's probably going to solve some problems with conflicts, you know, especially big military conflicts and stuff like that. He'll probably solve those problems for a while. But then, you know, when the things that Satan does do not last.
No.
You know.
No. And so, he has his own agenda.
That's right. Oh, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he wants to be in charge of the whole world.
Right.
You know, and eventually, about halfway through the tribulation, is when God destroys the one world church, and the Antichrist will move into the temple, the newly built tribulation temple there in Jerusalem. Have we got a call? Not anymore. Somebody hung up, I think.
If it's for us, they'll call back.
Oh, okay.
Yes, we are in those last days. And
how could you not know we're in the last days?
I think a lot of people know. They say the Bible right now is one of the biggest sellers than ever before. So a lot of people are concerned. They want to read the scripture. They want to know what's going on. When is Christ coming back? Is he coming back today, tomorrow, or has he already come? What are we to look forward to?
Well, I believe in the post-tribulation rapture. In other words, Jesus will come back at the end of the tribulation. And zap us out.
Who wants to hear that? Who wants to hear? We got to go through all this trouble, you know, before the Lord to take me out of here.
Yeah.
Who wants to hear that?
Well, you know, we may not want to be taken out, Linda. There may be, I believe there's going to be great miracles. You're going to see things happen that never would have happened before this and will never happen again.
Right.
You know, and I'm sure, I believe that. Now, I can't find a lot of scripture for this, but I believe that science is going to go crazy, and we're going to have great inventions. Man, I believe humankind will be able to conquer space travel and time travel, but it won't help the situation.
Right.
You know, but it'll be fascinating to be here and see this stuff happen.
I think it's going to be a fascinating time also, but, you know, there are Christians who think that they will not be here. You know, we're going to be gone, I said, but you know we're still here. Things are going on.
Yeah, and why hasn't it happened yet?
Right.
I don't know if we're in the Great Tribulation. But God, you see, in the beginning here, God focused on Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where most of his stuff happened, you know.
Right.
They were taken out of Egypt by great miracles, you know, the parting of the Red Sea and all the locusts and all the great miracles
right. That
happened to take them to the Promised Land. And then when they got there, they still had to fight, but they did make it to the Promised Land. And they still had these big battles. King David fought all those big battles and everything.
He's a warrior.
Yes. Yes, he was.
He's a warrior. He knocked down dragons.
Well,
the giants, you know, and maybe we don't know.
He said when he was a kid and he's watching the sheep, he wrestled with a bear and he wrestled with a lion.
Lion,
and he won.
Yes, he did, and he brought down Goliath, which was what, 9.5 feet, and that last giant he fought was over 13 feet. You know that, right? The one that almost killed him. He almost died in that battle.
And the Philistines?
It could have been.
And I've seen, you know, movies where the Goliath is out there and, come on! Everybody stood there and went, I'm not stupid.
Right. No? They were afraid. The whole entire army was afraid.
Yeah.
With all their weapons. You know, they were afraid of that giant.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying with the Antichrist.
Okay.
With God's power and grace, we can. They overcame him, it says in Revelation 12,
right. With
the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Yes, absolutely.
They overcame him. It didn't say he overcame them.
True.
And so by the time the rapture gets here and in the end there, and people say, well, I don't want to go through this. Well, do Christians overseas want to go through all the horrible stuff they go through? No. That's why we go through a lot of fire here, because God is trying to discipline us and get us ready for what's coming.
Right.
I don't like it either.
No.
I don't like it. You know, some weirdest things have happened to me since I've said, okay, God, show me the way here and show me how to be ready for what's coming.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. There were times when I said, never mind, I didn't mean to say that.
But it's coming. Yeah,
but it is.
It's coming, you know, and like we're saying, we're going through hard times now, which is a form of tribulation.
Yeah.
It really is, you know.
I think this is a model of what we're going to be facing is we have the virus and we have the riots in the streets, which we will have when the tribulation big time starts and we start having economic collapse. We'll have riots in the streets and we'll have... You know, the rise of the Antichrist is the collapse of government and economic systems.
Well, they say right now our religious freedoms are under attack. Do you think that's true right now?
Yeah. Oh, yes,
and
definitely.
And how so? How so, do you think?
Because the left keeps trying to introduce Antichrist legislation, mm-hmm. you know, and trying to limit what we can do as Christians. As a matter of fact, did you hear JC say he got a letter from DeWine saying what he should be doing and what he shouldn't be doing?
Sunday. He texted him Sunday.
Yeah. So
he got that text Sunday
He used
Sunday
to get up
morning.
There once in a while when he was talking about the gays and all that. He was getting discipline letters.
But you know what? That governor is a Republican, and he fought very hard for him to win that election.
But
you know
you
that,
see
right?
how fast people can turn tail on
yeah.
you?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what's going to happen, see? If you've had friends that have turned on you lately and stabbed you in the back, because that's the way it's going to be, you know. When Jesus talked about that in Matthew 24, I can't remember exactly what he said. He said, can I look that up?
Of course you can. You can look that up. We have... A little bit of time.
Look at that. I turned to Matthew 23.
It's
okay.
Only 4:30. We got a few.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, it's only 4:30.
Okay. All right. Thus it is written, these things shall be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming in the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you see people in the prosperity movement who believe they are gods because Kenneth Copeland said so. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows.
Now wait a minute. Stop right there. Have these things just started?
I think so. I think we've been in the beginnings of sorrows for quite a while. Because,
that's what I'm saying. That didn't just start.
You know, we've had the volcanoes and the tornadoes and the hurricanes and the fires and floods and famines.
They named at least 5 earthquakes that happened today on the news in different places.
Oh, really?
Yes,
I didn't know
today.
That. Wow. And she'll deliver you up to be afflicted, and she'll kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake.
And he's talking to his disciples, so that means people who call themselves Christians or believers in Christ Jesus, right?
Many of them will claim to be Christians. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They do today.
Yes.
And, you know, we've got all these churches that have fallen that call themselves Christians. And they can sense it. When you go in, you're a real believer, you go into their church, they can sense that you are not following the curriculum.
Mm.
So it's kind of like some of these weird horror movies you've seen where, what was the name of that one where they came out of pods? And they would.
Oh, the Body Snatchers.
Yeah, the Body Snatchers. That's a good one. That was a good imitation of what's going to happen.
I taped that.
You like that one?
Yeah.
And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity, sin shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Have we seen that? But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. That doesn't go very much in favor of pre-tribulation rapture, does it?
No.
And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come.
Because I want to go back 13. But he that shall endure until the end. Till the end of what? The tribulation.
At the end of the tribulation.
Right?
What else could it mean?
Right. So why do they say it's going to happen before the culmination of all things.
Well, I think in America, you know, America's worried about their comfort.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everything's got to be just so gushy-gushy and cushy-cushy. And we're supposed to like everybody, and we're supposed to be happy-happy all the time. Mm-mm. And God comes along and says, that is not the way it is.
Right.
Look at your ancestors, what they went through.
True.
To give you freedom.
True.
Mm-mm-mm. How many people have died to keep this country free? How many people have died as Christians to keep us free?
Innumerable, I'm sure. You were on 14.
And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. You could just about write a book about this one.
Yeah.
Because I've listened to Bible prophecy teachers talk about the 144,000 are going to preach the gospel to all the world. There really isn't any indication in Revelation that that happens. It's just that there's the 144,000, okay. You know.
I have to look that up.
When you shall therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, that's the Antichrist, standing in the holy place, and Jesus calls him the abomination of desolation because that's what he is, an abomination.
Right.
Whoso reads, let him understand. Let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him, that's that running off to the rock city. Then let them which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of their house. Neither let him which in the field. Woe unto them which are with child, to them who give suck in those days. But pray that your flight not be in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be.
Now the Sabbath day is Saturday, or any day that you worship Christ?
Well, I don't know. I would suppose it was Sunday, but whatever day they declare, you don't want to be out running because you'd be obvious. That's what I think.
And it'd be too cold in the winter to be on foot.
Be really cold.
Look like we're going to be on foot, right?
Yeah. Maybe a camel or
that's
two.
That's a scary thought. No, that's a real scary thought. Or in your car driving around trying to get to safety because there's so much turmoil going on.
Oh, well, what's happened there is, what's happening there, I believe, is explained in Revelation 12. Whereas the Antichrist sends his forces after the Jews, and the Jews were, God protects them, takes them into the wilderness, and swallows up the forces that came after them.
Wow.
So the Antichrist becomes very, very angry, and he goes back to the temple and he says, I'm going to get those Christians. That's how I'm going to get back at God. And that's when he institutes the mark, so that he can find out who you are.
And not Bill Gates.
No, I doubt
it. You know he was trying to.
Yeah. Trying to take over the world, you
mean? Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt it.
He said everyone needed a chip to say whether they had that virus or not. Did you hear him?
Yeah, I heard about that.
I'm like, shut him up. Set him down.
Well, see, he doesn't know anything about the Bible.
That's what his problem is. Right, I didn't think so.
So, you know, some of the medical stuff is okay. You know, some of the advances in electronics and stuff like the nanos, those microscopic robots and stuff, they're supposed to go in and take care of cancer, stuff like that. I'm all in favor of that.
Right.
But when they try to put information in you, or that they can take out into their computer, which would probably, you know, speed up their treatment.
Yeah, their treatment.
You know, instead of running 10,000 tests on you, you know.
Right.
So it's hard to say some of these issues, you know, because those medical, a medical chip like that, no, it's not the mark of the beast. You know, he says that it goes on your right hand or on your forehead.
Right.
So we should stick to that, you know, what it
I
says.
I know. We don't need someone like Bill Gates to jump up there and say, oh, they need the chip. No. Settle down. Settle down.
You don't like that chip, do you?
No, because I think they're trying to hurry things up, like you're saying. If they were to implement some of these things, they're trying to hurry things up. Oh, I heard about this, and we're gonna use this to implement or bring about, you know, what we need to, so we can keep track of everybody. Not unless you are the Antichrist, you know.
Yeah. And otherwise, that's why we say we're so close. Because all this stuff is happening, and the church is in worse shape than it's been since Martin Luther's day.
Then it said in verse 21, for then shall the great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world,
because
to this time, no, nor ever shall be. So yes, we are in tribulation, but we're not in the great tribulation.
I won't say that we're in the tribulation yet until we start experiencing economic collapse. Then when we start experiencing the true collapse, I'll say we're there, you know.
And that would be more so than the great falling away?
Well, the great falling away is making way
for the
new world order to come about.
Okay.
So the United States is a big, powerful democratic country.
Right.
And it has to go down before the new world order can rise up.
It was kind of scary there for a minute, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Closing down our country.
Yeah, and they still might.
You think?
Yeah, because people are still scared of the virus. Oh, yeah.
Well, the president said he wasn't closing down the United States again. He said,
okay.
He said, I'm not doing it again.
You know.
Where are you at now?
I'm in Mark 13 right now.
Okay, Mark 13. Go ahead.
Okay, and I was looking for, I'm not sure what chapter it's in. It's either one of these three, because it says that people shall betray one another and hate one another, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but that's in a different chapter from Matthew 24. Let me go to Luke 21. Good thing I brought this here today, because I can't remember where that was.
Well, it Mark, what was it, 13? 9?
Mark 13.
But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils.
Okay, that's part of it. Yeah.
And in the synagogues you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them.
And it shall turn to you for a testimony.
Wow.
It says in Luke 21:13, settle it in your hearts not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which your adversary shall not be able to gainsay nor resist.
Wow.
I love that. And you shall be all right, Luke 21:16.
Okay.
And you shall be betrayed by both parents and brethren, kinfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. So you talk about people stabbing you in the back and turning on you.
Be of your own household.
That's right. That stuff happened during World War II. People turned their own people over to Hitler. The SS came and got them. So, and in this book here, he says, I'm not afraid of the Antichrist. And I haven't gotten far into that yet. I'm only about a third of the way through this book, but I'm going to talk about it some more when I come back. I'll probably have it all read by then.
Okay.
But we need to be more serious as Christians, no more running around and adultery and fornication and drinking and all that stuff. That stuff has all got to go because...
See, that's why the world doesn't like us.
Because we're hypocrites.
We're against everything they're for. But, you know, just like Paul says, so weren't some of you at one time. I mean, it's not that we haven't ever lived or done the wrong thing or went the wrong way, drank too much, got drunk.
Yeah.
Or was sexually immoral. It's not that. It's that we've been changed.
Yeah.
By the blood of the Lamb.
Right.
We've been changed.
But we can't take those chances anymore.
Better not.
Because
I don't think
we
even
don't
have the desire
to go on
to do
into
it.
The tribulation with a bunch of sin problems.
No.
You know.
I don't think you even have the desire. Speaking
of a lot of those desires are gone, but I am getting older.
Well, even before then, oh my gosh, I'm thinking way back in 2001. When I got rerouted back on the right track.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And it's like, oh, okay.
That's when I got off track.
Really?
During that time, yeah.
I was like, I understand, Lord. I really understand now more than I had ever understood what he meant about surrender.
I surrender all.
Yes. Everything. Your heart, your mind, and your strength. Everything is mine, you know.
That's not easy.
No.
You go through all this, and I think, like, if you have a problem with bad temper, God will keep putting you in situations where you're getting irritated by people and doing ignorant things to you, and you're just like, okay, come here.
Are you really testing me? Do you really want me to get upset with you and blow my top? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, okay.
Listen, buddy, you do that one more time. I know. I was like that.
But those of you who do not know Jeff Porter, he is the Doomsday Prophet here on A Voice of a People on WWGH1071.com.
Does anybody call me the Truth Prophet?
Probably not, but he's always talking that doom and gloom. But it's not all doom and gloom, because one day, what's going to happen that's going to be so great, Jeff?
First of all, you must be born again.
Yes, absolutely.
Jesus made that crystal clear a couple of places, you know. Any man in Christ is a new creature.
Yes.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
That's right.
And it says in, I believe in 2 Corinthians 5, 18, he who knew no sin became sin, that we might have the righteousness of God in us. Can you imagine?
Right.
Only God could do that.
Right, and I was telling someone yesterday, it's not about what I do. I'm righteous because he says I'm righteous.
That's
because
right.
of what he did. You can't work your way into heaven. You can't buy your way into heaven. I can't put you on my back and carry you into heaven. Jeff can't either, right?
Nope, I don't think so.
No.
You know, I wondered that when I first got saved. It just seemed like I could just kept on sinning and sinning.
It's still going to happen,
asking,
right?
Asking for forgiveness, and after a while, some of those sins just start falling off of you, and you begin to understand God's discipline and God's work in you.
Yes,
you know.
Yes, and it's all about that. But you know, as we, Lord, as God has graced us to get up every morning, there's always those same signs magnified to the point where we're all saying, what's going to happen next? You know? Should we look to the
sky? At least it won't be boring.
No, and it's not boring now. It's like, we may not like what's happening, but there's a point to what is happening. I think God is pulling the covers off a lot of things, you know, just to get our attention. Where's my church? Where are those who are called by my name?
People, you know, as I remember this one guy saying, they were doing one of those talk things on the radio before they play a song, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This guy says, I'm looking for the campgrounds that confiscates your cell phone before you go into the campground, so that if we start up a fire, everybody won't be staring into their cell phones.
Did you want to start the question? If you do, come on in. All right.
So it didn't want people sitting around the campfire just staring into their cell phones.
Right.
You know,
that's
the one place where, and some people do that, you know, if you're going to come to this Christian meeting, you have to put your cell phone over here.
Which
I think is a great idea. You ever go to Emmaus? You ever heard of Emmaus?
I've heard of it.
I went to that, and that you have to leave your... You know, it's a volunteer thing.
Mm-hmm.
You have to leave your cell phone and your watch over here. All those devices, any distracting devices, it gets put over here in a shelf.
Oh, okay.
You get it after you leave. It's a 2 or 3 day thing. And they have lectures and talks and stuff in there, and it's really powerful.
Okay.
You know.
I've been to a Jewish temple before when I lived in Georgia.
Oh, did you?
They had church on Saturdays.
What was that like? Yeah.
Kinda
boring.
Kind of boring.
Well, I said, you know, I went. Mom and Dad took me to a Methodist church over there in Alleyne.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and well, let's talk about boredom. You know, that Methodist church is gone now. I don't know what's there now, but I might have been. It was for a while. It was Keith Ira, and then he moved out to Tri Rivers. So I don't know what's there now. But I remember going in, just dreading going to Sunday school. Oh.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you know, and preaching.
Wow. And see, that's what we don't want people to get in the habit of going to church with no intention.
Yeah.
Excuse me. When I go to church, my intention is to meet the Lord. I'm going to bring him with me.
Yeah.
And he's going to meet me there, too, and it's going to be a powerful experience.
Yes.
Mind-altering. You know,
I've had times in there where I stood up and raised my hands, and I'm just going through the motions, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord falls on me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, oh, wow.
That's
fantastic.
Powerful.
Fantastic.
Yes, it is fantastic. Yes,
and you
it
just
is.
Feel like, oh, there's all the hope in the universe
yes,
right there, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Jesus loves me. This I know.
And we don't want people to think that church is just boring. It's just reading of the scriptures.
Well, most of them are.
Yeah, no spirit there. So where is the Spirit of the Lord? If you go to a church that is so boring and there's no...
All you can think about is leaving.
Right, and you don't want to go back.
Yeah. You sit there and go, come on, when does this end? I am tired of this.
So during this shutdown of churches, what do you think the Lord is saying to the churches?
You better seek the Lord's face and find out what He wants. And all these programs in the world are not going to change anything. They're not going to fix anything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the guy, the world out there, they come in to visit and they say, they bored me to death and then they asked for me for money. And that's what they concentrated on, you know, and say 5-10 minutes talking about, you know, money, you know, tithing, you know, and you better tithe or else the great curse will come upon you. And I say, you know, they've kind of cooled it on that a little bit lately because people are not giving as much as they
it
were.
Takes too much time right now. You're only doing an hour service,
yeah.
Most of them. So
can't
you
sit there and
5 minutes on
just
tithes.
Go on and on about tithing.
Sometimes it's 10 minutes.
Yeah,
you know, on giving your money or
yeah, time, talent, and treasure.
Yes, yes.
Okay. I thought we were saved by grace.
We are.
I'm trying to find that again.
Now, didn't we just say that you cannot buy your way in?
What right? Does grace mean?
God's unmerited favor. You did not deserve it.
Yeah.
Right?
God loves us in spite of
because
everything.
Because he loved you so much, you know.
Jesus
yes.
said all sins and blasphemies will be forgiven man.
Yes.
That's what we have to look forward to.
Right.
As we stand before the throne of grace and maybe you didn't do some great thing, but you're still allowed in because of his sacrifice.
Right.
On that cross, you know.
Right, and we can't change that, but we have to be saved, we have to acknowledge that he has, that he did die for our sins, you know, and that we are saved by grace because that is his unmerited favor that we did not earn. We could not pay the price for our sins.
No.
That was death and being...
So you say you were you're a former Jehovah's Witness.
Well, I really didn't join, but I was studying with them.
Oh, you were? Oh, you mm-hmm. didn't join them?
No.
So what do they believe about salvation?
When I was studying with them, I hear that they're now not on the cult list. I don't know what they did, but they said that they're not on the occult list. But then they did not believe that Christ was God.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I stopped studying. Because while I was studying with them, Christ revealed mm-hmm. himself to me.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that something?
Well, you know, you had something to contrast with.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
That was one of the things that bugged me was, the big thing that bugged me was evolution. And
okay.
I remember being in a biology class, and I was thoroughly, you know, sold out to evolution. And this biology teacher said, they were talking about the intermediates
mm-hmm.
in the fossil record. And this biology teacher, she was very smart. She said, it said in the book, there are no intermediates have ever been found. Mm-hmm. And I said, none? No intermediate fossils have ever been found? She said, no, there hasn't been. That's what your book says, isn't it? And I said, well, how can they promote evolution like it's absolutely pure fact?
Right, right.
When that is the biggest, that's supposed to be the biggest fact that they support evolution with.
And they said that Darwin didn't really believe the facts that it was evolution, but he put that concept out there.
It was
there.
A theory.
Yeah, a theory out there, and everybody bought it.
Well, that's because
everybody.
The world is looking for a way out, you know.
That's why when we first opened the show, I said, why are people always looking for something other than what the scripture says? Yes, and what we profess.
Because they want their sin.
Yeah, I guess
they don't
want
to change anything.
Yeah.
You know.
So that's why they want something. They want to see what Zeus has to say or what. I'm just for real, though.
Yeah.
You know. Well, they don't know what they're talking about, you know.
Thus spake Zarathustra.
Right. They just want to change it. They don't want us to have any fun. Oh, have all the fun you want. Christ same that he came.
Well, the only fun that I know of, you know, God says we're not supposed to have sex outside of marriage.
That's not fun.
They think that's not fun.
I know. I'm talking like I'm one.
I mean, if you get married, you could have all the sex you want. I guess, you know. Secondly, the only other funds that we say we need discipline
getting
from.
Getting drunk.
Well, yeah, getting drunk and drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I was at, and as far as the perverted stuff it goes, I learned a big lesson. I was taking humanities, human services at Marion Tech, which was, it's social work is what it is. I was starting to get interested in social work. And so you had to volunteer for certain things like the homeless shelter or answering the emergency phones or something like that, you know, or one of the food outlets. And the girls that were on the emergency phones, you know, the mostly suicide phones is what they were. And there was lots of gay people that called in there that were, they've got some big-time emotional problems in the gay community. And they're wanting to kill each other and everything else because the jealousy is just unbelievable in the gay community. And
I had no idea.
Yeah, it really is. And I said, well, and they talked about how they can't handle their partner running off on them and all that because... Well, first of all, I said, folks, first of all, the gay agenda is immoral to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to let in, Satan's going to come in there, and he's going to just have a heyday with you.
Wow.
You know, once you open the door, you know, you got every other perversion that wants to come in. You know, and a lot of times it does.
Yeah.
So they end up killing each other and stuff. And I said, look at these days. I mean, you know, you look back, okay, in the 60s, and everybody thought it was so cool to do all the drugs you want to, have all the sex you want to, do whatever you want to. You know, whatever feels good, do it.
It and didn't feel
look
good.
Look at where we are
right,
now.
Right, it didn't feel good, even though you thought it was okay back in the day, you know, and it didn't feel good, because there was a lot of pain in that, too.
Yeah.
You know, being with the wrong person, and, you know.
Well, Jimi Hendrix... He got a bunch of women pregnant.
Did he?
Yeah. And he kept doing drugs to take care of the bad feelings, you know. And eventually, he just overdid it.
Right.
He had a lot of women after him with lawsuits and
stuff. I bet. And you know, you think it's fun, but it's not fun. You think
after
it's
a
okay,
while,
but
it's not.
Not okay.
After a while, it loses its fun,
yes,
funny, fun, fun.
Because it like, you slowly disintegrate within yourself because you're not going the way that God has ordained us to go.
Yeah.
You know, and then it gets to a point where there's got to be something else. I'm so unhappy. I can't seem to get it right for some reason. You know, where am I going wrong? What's going on? What's happening to me? You know, and not just myself, but other people I've talked to, you know, will I ever get it right? And they wonder. You know?
Yeah.
Because Christ is not in their life. And that's what's missing. That's the missing ingredient. That's why we're on
the air. That's exactly right, Linda.
Yeah. That's why we're on the air. We are here to help compel people to come to Christ. We're
That's
begging
right.
you to come to Christ.
Yes.
That's what compel means. We're begging you. If we could drag you, we're on the air trying to drag you to come. Drag you along the way.
Yes.
Because the Lord says redeem the time because the days are evil.
That's right.
It's evil out there.
That's right.
You know, and how can you combat evil? You have to do it with love and you have to do it with good. You can't pay bad with bad or evil with evil.
Yeah,
the
gospel is not for sale.
It's not for sale. It is not for sale. And there's only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ himself.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get there unless you accept him as Lord. And you can't get there except the Father draw you
that's right.
to him. And he said, when you seek for me with your whole heart, you shall find me. When you've tried everything, and I don't know why we have to go there. When we've tried everything else and everybody else, and we're still discontent.
Well, see, the reason why these other philosophies won't work is because
we're out of time.
They don't All convict right. you of sin.
That's true. And we are out of time.
Yep.
Thank you for listening. Thank you, Jeff, for coming. Another day, another time.
Yes.
Second Tuesday of July. You'll be here.
Okay.
Okay. So thank you for listening to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims. Until next time, be blessed.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. For people like legendary comedian Shecky Green telling the funniest talk show story of all time about guest starring on Fantasy Island.
I was late.
Yes.
And as I always am for everything I do. And they were waiting for me. And he came up to me. He said, I want to tell you something. Did you know you made us wait? You know, I said, well, I'm very sorry. And I didn't realize my call was for later and everything. Then I sat down and his wife came up to me. And she says to me, Shecky, I'm everybody's wife. And they had just gotten married, by the way. And she's a beautiful girl. And she said to me, would you like a cup of coffee? I said, I would love it. Thank you. And he says, listen, I want to tell you, don't talk to my wife. That's my wife. You understand? I don't want you to talk to my wife again. That's my wife. And I'm going to kill you. So I says, he's going to do what to me? You know.
Oh, man.
And then Ricardo says, I want to tell you, Shaky, with another accent, I want to tell you, don't pay any attention to him. Just pat him on the head 3 times.
And the producer told you that he had a gun.
Oh, he had a gun.
He had a gun.
Yeah, he carried a gun. Well, you know, people, if they went to rob him, they wanted to rob him. They didn't want to rob the money. They'd take him. They'd put him in the pocket.
WWGH Radio 107.1